Okay, all right, thank the Lord. Okay, so good evening to everyone and the saints in California. And
turn down your song.
Give our greetings from the saints in Silicaga. Okay, and we feel honored and humbled to stand before you tonight. And a little bit different for us doing things online, so. We desire your prayers that we can preach the word tonight in such a way that it will challenge, it will encourage, and it will help us. That'd be our burden. Okay. So anyway, we've been praying about the message to preach to the saints in California and whoever else may be listening, and we thought we had it all figured out. I thought we had it all settled, and I told Brother Goble that, we're not going to preach a certain thing. We're just going to preach something different. It's the first time. And so, anyway, after we got in our study, as of last night, we found out that we were not able to preach what we thought we were going to, and we just couldn't get away from this thought that we're going to preach tonight. And it's a thought that we've preached before, and I believe there's a great need in the church, okay? And that's what we're going to preach on. We'll go ahead and give you a title because sometimes when I get preaching, I forget about titles, and I know titles kind of help our humanity, I guess, or help us to kind of think we know where things are going. And sometimes we don't always, but tonight we'll give you a title. And what we want to preach on tonight is restoration. Okay? Restoration. We preached this quite a bit. It won't be in the exact same terms tonight, but it's the same burden. And so it's not a new burden with us. It's a burden we've had for many, many years. Okay? And we have preached it in some places, and it wasn't appreciated. But the saints, what I have found is the saints of God appreciate when the Word is preached in its clarity. And the Word of God will bring a correction to us. And so let me just go ahead and get into some thoughts here, and then we will... move forward. Okay, so I'm going to just quote maybe some scriptures because in trucking terms, tonight we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Okay, so and that's not always been one of my strong points. So I will confess my faults to you tonight, so you can grace
what's behind this.
All right, so,
because you're but getting a feed off of
restoration of the church is our thoughts, and we know that,
be something behind that.
God, David said, He restoreth my soul. Okay? We'll get into some scriptures here in a minute to go to. But the first thing is that we need to be restored to God. We understand that. And thank the Lord that God has restored our soul. If you're saved tonight, God has restored your soul and brought you back in right relationship. Okay? A restore is to bring back or bring back into the proper condition or the right condition that God would have us to be in. Okay? And so we thank the Lord that He has restored my soul. And you can say that if you're saved, okay? And if God has restored your soul, then you are God's, all right? And the Word of God says that the Lord knoweth them that are His, okay? And so aren't you glad that the Lord knows who are His, okay? And I don't know all of God's people. Do you? In fact, those saints there in Carmichael, I don't know you. And you don't know me. But the Lord knows them that are His. Okay? And, you know, David got in trouble when he began to number God's people. Okay? Remember that? And we want to be careful that we don't have an attitude to number God's people. But I'm here to tell you tonight that many people are still getting in trouble numbering God's people. Okay? Because we don't know them all. Okay? So let me just try to get moving on here. All right? So Galatians chapter 2, if we could go ahead and start there. Galatians chapter 2. And I may use the scripture a little bit different than what we've been accustomed to hearing it down through the years, but I want you to think with me, if you will. Galatians chapter 2, in verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now, I'm sure we've all heard that scripture down through the years in many different situations. But tonight, I want us to think about, just as we start out into this, I want us to think about building again that which we've destroyed, or that which we've stood against, if you will. Okay? And we live in a day that people are building again, even around the church,
stood against
the things that they've destroyed. Okay. You say, what do you mean, Brother Mullins? Well, we live in a day
the Word of God speaks of making an image to the beast
around the
Revelation.
The things that they've destroyed. You say, what do you mean, Brother
Mullins? So what I mean, if you can see the Revelation,
the Word of God speaks
up here tonight,
making an image,
I want you to know when God restored the church in 1880. Okay.
And
so
God,
what I mean, if you can see the
evening light came in
and it brought all of God's people together into one. Okay? Then we find they came out from all places in which they've been scattered. Okay? Don't we sing the songs like that? All the old Reformation songs. Okay? How that thy children are gathering home and God's bringing them out of all the places they've been scattered. Ezekiel said that God said that He would both seek and search all those from all the places they've been scattered, both in the dark and the cloudy day. So I want you to know God's people were scattered all down through here. Okay? And so the Bible speaks of making an image to the beast. Okay? And Protestantism came out of Catholicism and turned around and made an image to it. They began to do the things that they stood against. Just change the names and the faces and still start doing the same things, okay? So Paul said, if we build again, see, it's not good enough to stand against something and then as time goes on, we turn around and do the same thing, okay? Then Paul said, then we make ourselves a transgressor. Okay? Haven't we all stood against the sectarian spirit? But I want you to know it's not good enough to stand against it and then turn around and make an image to it. And do the same thing that we saw was wrong. Okay? So what do you mean, Brother Moses? I mean dividing and scattering the people of God. That's what I mean. Amen. We divide and scatter the people of God, then we make ourselves a transgressor according to Paul's writing here. Okay? And we see this has all come about in our day, has it not? Amen. Many times people can have the thought, oh, that's... they use words like ecumenical and compromise. Out of context. Out of context, I said. Okay? I believe we need to be careful that we don't become ecumenical. I believe we need to be careful that we don't compromise. Of course. That's a given. Okay? But do we understand really what the eighth beast is in Revelation? Let's take our Bibles to Revelation chapter 17 as we try to lay a foundation. We've got a long ways to go, so I'm trying to move forward. All right. Revelation 17. Talks about the eighth beast. Do we know what the eighth beast is tonight? We see it up here on the chart. We see the eighth beast. We see the mother harlot sitting on it. Okay. But do you know what it is? So, well, that is just the spirit of being ecumenical. Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. I agree with that. Okay. But let's see what the Bible says. Okay. Don't we sing the song, "The Bible is our rule of faith"? And Christ alone is Lord. Amen. I want you to know that was the message of the evening light. These old songs that the brethren sung. And I'm not here to try to recreate the sixth seal. But I want you to know, living in the seventh seal, I want you to know the light of the sixth seal only needs to become brighter. Okay? The seventh seal light did not do away with the sixth seal light. It did not banish it. Okay? I want you to know there's been a great digression when we read the letters that Christ wrote. Do you believe those letters were to the church in Revelation? We find the letter commending to the sixth seal church, the church of Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love, if you will. And that's not by accident. And God said, "What? I set before you an open door, and no man can close it." I want you to know there was a great moving in the sixth seal that God was restoring the church. Did He not? Okay? And my burden tonight is there needs to be some restoration. There needs to be some restoring in the seventh seal. Come on. We need to change some directions that we're going. Okay? Because look what it's producing. We've got a little chart around here that somebody made. And I realize you probably can't see it. But it's a little division chart that somebody made of the church of God going all the way back to the sixth seal brethren. Okay? And you know what it looks like? It looks like an AKC pedigree. If you know anything about dogs, you can order one of these for your dog, okay? And it tells all of its ancestry and where it goes back to and where it came from, okay? And I'm going to tell you what, we see all these little diagrams of split and division and schism, one after another. Okay? That's not the church that Jesus is coming back for. I want you to know that. Amen. And I want you to know this. There needs to be some things restored. There needs to be some things set back in its rightful place. Well, amen. It's that way. And I endeavor tonight to speak the truth in love. Okay? But I want you to know I'm passionate. I'm passionate about the gospel. Amen. Because this is the Word of God. This is forever settled. Okay? And we'll get to it maybe here in a moment. How God looked at the Laodicean church. Who is that Laodicean church? You think that's Babylon out there? Was the sixth seal letter written to Babylon? Was the morning letter written to Babylon? No! Who were they written to? They were written to the church of God, if you will. And more directly, they were written to the angel of the church, to the ministry of the day. Come on! Didn't it always work that way? Didn't it always work that the prophet got the word at God's mouth and brought it to the people? Why is it any different today? It's no different in that thought. Okay, so God wrote the letters. Christ wrote the letters. He identified Himself. Okay, and we'll get to the negativity here in a moment. But I want us to see the digression in the evening time. I want us to see, really, there's been apostasy in the evening time. And I'm not talking about when the seventh seal opened and there was silence for a space of a half an hour. I want you to know there's silence again. there's apostasy again. Well, amen. It's that way. Come on, that's why we see many of the conditions that we see today. Come on. And how many of us can remember times when our camp meetings were full? And I'm not here just to promote a party tonight. That's not my thought. That's not my burden. Okay? And I don't want to get way ahead of myself. But I want you to know, we're to be the light of the world. Okay? We're to be the light of the world. And we need to be careful that our light's not put out. That our light is not dim. It has been dim. But how can it be restored? Was it? I want you to know when the sixth trumpet began to blow, I want you to know there was a great earthquake. Okay? Now I'm not here preaching on earthquakes so much tonight, but I want you to know there was a great moving of God. Let me say it that way. Okay? And it was time. It was God's time to restore. Okay? I can remember a message that my former pastor preached in 1975. I wasn't saved then. I didn't get saved in 1981. But the title of that message is called The Church Restored. Okay? And what it was dealing with was the history up to right here and how God restored the church. Well, what do you think God wants to do with the situation at hand today? With the attitudes that have existed today that have divided and brought schisms to the people of God. Amen. So, let's think about the beast, the eighth beast for a moment. So let's go ahead and get that thought out of our minds. Get that thought. Let's get clear on what the eighth beast is, okay? So the Word of God says in verse 11, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition." So let's think for a moment. Let's think for a moment how many people are pointing their finger to the eighth beast and don't even realize they're part of it. So what do you mean, Brother Mullins? I want you to know the eighth beast is more than just an ecumenical spirit. It is that. Okay? But it says, listen to me, it says it is of the seven. What are the seven? Protestantism. Come on, Catholicism. Paganism. And the beast back here in Daniel. All these devouring spirits. Okay? Now listen. You can have an old Pope spirit and be affected by the eighth beast. You can have an old sectarian spirit. So what do you mean? You can be ruled by the eighth beast, dividing and scattering God's people, and don't even know it. And all you can see is compromise. Let down. Listen, I'm not here tonight to compromise and let down. Okay? In that thought, we don't need to compromise the Word of God. We might need to compromise some attitudes. We might need to compromise some traditions that have caused us to transgress the commands of God. Okay? And those things ought to be compromised. But we're not here to compromise the Word of God. Amen. And I want you to know the reason these things, listen, the reason these old beasts were able to exist, you know why? Because the Word, the vicars of Christ, if you will, the Word and the Spirit were laying dead in the street. Okay? The two witnesses were laying dead in the street right here. Amen. And when the sixth trumpet began to sound, the two witnesses came to life. And they stood up on their feet. And they came up in a cloud. What was it? People began to stand for the message. It began to ring true. It began to ring clear. They started fighting the right thing instead of the wrong thing, if you will. That's why one of the songs, I believe it's Back to the Blessed Old Bible, I believe it is, said, there's one line in there that says, "Never again to do wrong." Amen. So, well, you mean God's people done wrong? Not intentionally, but being misguided. Well, amen. So how do you know that? Because when they came out and they were standing on Mount Zion, they came out in the sixth seal, and they were standing on Mount Zion following the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. It said they were without fault before the throne of God, and no guile was found in their mouth. Amen. And you know what? They were saying, never again to do wrong. We've been misguided. Amen. And God said they were without fault. Amen. Humble saints of God wanted to do the right thing. Amen.
Yeah.
So do we understand what the eighth beast is? And I think it's important that we lay this out in the foundation of this message. The eighth beast is of the seven. You can have a Pope spirit. Come on. You can have a sectarian spirit. Amen. Or you can just accept anything and everything. You can have the pagan spirit. Many gods. Many faiths. But it's deeper than that. The Bible lets us know it's all of that. It's all of that. Amen. So I'm laying a foundation. So men use the words ecumenical as a blanket coverage many times to keep group control and don't even recognize that they themselves are affected by the eighth beast. All right? So Revelation chapter 3. I need to move right on. Revelation chapter 3. Let's talk about the letter to the seventh seal church, if you will. Do we believe that tonight? Do we believe that the letters are to the church, or do we think they're to someone else? The Bible says they're to the church and to the angel of the church, again, more accurately speaking. Okay? Let's see what the Bible says. Verse 14, very familiar scripture. Do we understand the depth of the scripture? And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right. Unto the ministry. Do we still believe that the angel is a messenger? So this was written to the messengers of the day. What a powerful message to come. I'm going to tell you what, that ought to humble us as ministers of the gospel. See what God has to say. Amen. I'm interested in what God has to say, aren't you? And to the angel of the church, of the Laodiceans. Right. These things saith the Amen. The faithful and true witness. Thank the Lord. Who is this? The beginning of the creation of God. So the faithful and true witness has got some things to say to the church tonight. He's got some things that he wants to correct in the church tonight. Come on. Can we see that? Can we see? Can we come off our high horse long enough to see there's some things that need to be addressed and dealt with and corrected? I want to tell you what, that'll bust your bubble when you think you're it. Okay? Because God has some things to say about that attitude. Amen. Thank the Lord. I don't want to be a part of that we're it spirit. Do you? And I believe God has one. Okay? But again, the Lord knows them that are His. But so we need to watch our attitude. We find out as we read into this, the attitude was so terrible in the Laodicean church. And we find out what a digression from the sixth seal. When God was pleased and He said, I've opened doors and the gospel was going forth and souls were being saved. And there's great restoration. What a wonderful time. And then we come all the way down here down here in the seventh seal and we read the letter, and Christ doesn't have one good thing to say. Come on. Come on, that'll let the air out of your balloon, won't it? Say, oh, you're tearing down the church. No, no, I'm telling you what Jesus had to say to the church. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Come on. We don't want to believe a fantasy, do we? Amen. All right, so let's read. Again, this message is not to Babylon. Come on, there's a message to Babylon. What is it? She's fallen. Come out of her, my people. Yeah, we understand that. We believe that. We preach that. But I want you to know, this letter was after the come out message. Okay, come on now. And I know there's still a come out message, and I believe that truth, absolutely. And I want you to know this, if it was true in the sixth seal, then it's true in the seventh seal. Amen. Right. Concerns me when people have the thought, oh, that was sixth seal, seventh seal, we can see better. Well, I'll tell you what, we need to see more clearly. But I want you to know it doesn't do away. I'm going to say it again. It doesn't do away with the things that God was pleased with back then. Okay? We can, and we see what this age has done. It's caused people to feel so superior. Okay? Look what it's done. I'm thankful for the day we live in. But I want you to know there's a terrible snare in the day that we live in. Okay? Let's read it. I'm trying to get through this. But I don't want to go through it too fast that you miss it. I want you to get the burden. If I don't finish this tonight, I want you to get the burden. And I probably won't finish. I've never preached this in an hour. Okay? So, but I'm doing my best. All right? These things. So the faithful and true witness. That's who's speaking. He's going to tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? All right? Verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would, thou art cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Wow. That's a pretty sickening description, isn't it? I'll tell you what, that ought to knock the arrogance off of people. Amen. Come on now. I will spew thee out of my mouth. Come on. Think of it. He said, because you're neither cold nor hot. Ah! Yeah! Ah! We got plenty of social distancing tonight. Come on, that's what the Bible says. That's how God feels. That's how God sees some things. Come on, we need the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's how God sees the condition today. Well, amen. That's what he said. I don't believe that, Brother Moses. Then you have to take it up with Jesus. Come on. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what Jesus said. Okay? I'll spew you out of my mouth. Come on. Whose opinion are you going to take here? God's or man's? Who's the authority here? Come on. I just demonstrated what Christ said he would do to the Laodicean church. Verse 17, because, here's why. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase the goods and have need of nothing, and knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Wow. But you're saying, we're it. So when I'm preaching this, I'm speaking at a condition at large. I'm not preaching at any local congregation. My thought is the condition of the day. Okay? And we thank the Lord for even the good things that are taking place now. Okay? And glad for those that are hearing the voice of God. Okay? So don't take our thoughts negative. It's just that's an at-large condition that may God help us to remove ourselves from. Okay? That's the thought. Okay? I've preached this much at home, so I want to make sure that the saints in California understand their thought also. Okay? So God said, Jesus said, because this is what you're saying, you feel so self-sufficient. And you don't see your condition. You don't see this condition of deception. Okay? So Jesus had some counsel for the church. He's still acknowledging that that's the church. But it was going the wrong direction. Okay? So Jesus said, are we concerned about what Jesus has to say? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Amen. Get an experience. Amen. Get the gold that's tried in the fire. Amen. Not just a legalistic experience. Amen. Not just checking the boxes and rules and regulations. I want you to know that doesn't do that. That doesn't put the gold that's tried in the fire down in your soul. That doesn't produce the joy. That doesn't produce the victory. That doesn't produce the happiness of what it means to be saved. Amen. We end up with just an old legalistic experience down here in this last of the last days. That's the warning. That's the condition that we want to steer far from. Okay? And why? Let me start over. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad? And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. He's talking to the church. And anoint thine eyes with thy sand. Why? That thou mayest see. God was pleading and beckoning with the church to get their eyes anointed with eyesight that they might see. Why? Because they were blind. They couldn't see where they were going. Amen. You see that tonight? I'm just reading the Word of God right now. That's what Jesus said. And isn't that what's most important? I'm more concerned about what Jesus has to say than I am about what I have to say or about what anybody else has to say. Okay? Because He's the judge. We're going to stand before Him one day. Come on. We need to get back to the words of the Master. Again, I'm laying a foundation. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Isn't that wonderful? God said He still loves us. Come on. But He's expecting you to do some change. Okay? As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Come on. Behold. So you mean the church needs to repent?
We need to have deep regret. We need to have deep regret. That's what repentance is. In a case such as this. Okay? What? Humble ourselves before God. I believe that's what the church needs to do at large, is humble ourselves before God. Amen. And listen to what he said. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who's he talking to? The church. Well, we're the church of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Pretty humbling thought, isn't it? Come on, he's not talking about the sinner. He's not talking about the world right now. He's trying to help the church get to the place that they can be the light to the world. Okay? Because of what they have become. I'm not here to say every individual's that way, but we're talking about the condition that we need to be far removed from. Okay? And we can't deny the condition of the day because Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. Why are we seeing all the conditions that we see? And I'm not talking about in Washington. We know evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But even right around the church, that which calls itself the church, and in some cases declares it is the church. If any man hear my voice, people are not hearing God's voice. Things are going the wrong direction because people aren't hearing God's voice. If any man hear my voice and open the door, can you open yourself up to, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, how do I need to see? How do I need to think? Come on. So how can we know we can stand on the sea of glass? Come on. That's also part of the message. Making sure that we're standing on the sea of glass down here. What is the sea of glass? The sea of mirrors. Looking in the Word of God. We look in the Word of God. It's a mirror. We can see ourselves. Come on, what do we do with what we see? We don't want to go away and forget of what we saw. So tonight we need to look into the mirror. Okay? The church needs to look into the mirror. Is that okay? Amen. I know it's okay because it's the Word of God. All right. Any man hear my voice and open the door. Listen to the beauty. Listen to, isn't it wonderful? Christ always gives us a path to success. That's the beauty. That's because He said He loves us. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what? Because He loves us, He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Oh my, what would that settle? Come on, what would that settle? If we can love each other even as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. Come on. He even looked at a condition that was so negative and He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. I want you to be zealous. I want you to correct it. Come on. Amen. That's what He's saying to us. And thank the Lord for those that have. And thank the Lord for those that are. Okay? So I'm going to try to move on with this. But I'm convinced there will be some that never will. But it's still the Word of God. No matter how you try to water this down, no matter how you try to put it off on someone else, come on. Amen. And him that opens the door, I'll come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. I will sup. If we'll open our heart's door to God, we'll hear the voice of God. He said, I'll come in, and I'll sup. What do you mean? I'll come in and have communion with you. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Alone with God, the world forbidden. And I forget how the words go, but it would the ending line, to have communion sweet. Alone with God. Amen. Can we get beyond? Can the church get beyond groupism? I'm gonna hit groupism pretty hard tonight too. Okay? Amen. Listen. What did Jesus say here? He said, repent. Repent. Open her door. Open her mind to Christ. Open her ears to Christ. Amen. He that hath an ear. Let me go on. Verse 21. To him that overcometh. We've got to overcome these things, church. You and I must overcome these things. And we're going to have to be honest about it. We're going to have to see clearly. We're going to have to get our eyes anointed so we can see. Get our ears open so we can hear. Get our heart's door open so he'll come in. Okay? I believe God still wants to do a work. Amen. I believe. And you know what this Laodicean letter is? Listen. It is also an evening time restoration. There was a path to be restored in right relationship back with Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, if we are restored, if we are hearing the voice of Christ, what's it going to do? It's going to affect us at large. Come on. It's going to cause us to have a burden to restore. Because why? Because we're listening to Him. And I want you to know, the Laodicean letter, again, was a letter to restore or to correct the things that were wrong. Amen. And there were things wrong. If things weren't wrong, why in the world would He have written it that way? And Jesus said it. So He said, blessed is he whosoever is not offended in them. We can't be offended at what Christ has to say to the church. Amen. It's that way. So the Laodiceans had such a similarity of the Pharisee, did they not? And then could I say it this way? I'm still laying the foundation. So today we are seeing the effect of a cloudy day. God already restored that once. Right? In the evening light, did God not restore the effects of the cloudy day? In the dark day? But once again, we have seen, and we do see, the same effects. God's people scattered, and groups falling under a sectish spirit.
Amen.
Amen. It's that way. And professing to be it. The evils of groupism. The evils of groupism. Listen. We don't have to join some group to be in fellowship with God's true people. Amen. I want you to know, we can be in fellowship with 144,000 standing on Mount Zion. Amen. What? Who is that? Everybody that's saved. Come on, every blood-washed one. Oh, and don't the groups hate that thought? But I want you to know, the evening light, the six-sealed brethren, they wrote the songs, the church's jubilee. Amen. Do we still believe that? We reach our hand in fellowship to every blood-washed one.
We understand. Blood wash has its own definition. We don't even need to validate it, do we? Why do we need to validate that? Amen. You're saved and I'm saved. Come on. We don't need some council to tell us it's okay to worship together. Well, amen. It's that way. And thus the devil has done a work to dim the evening light when it should be the brightest. Okay? I'm not going to go there, but John 17, 21. The Lord's Prayer. That's truly the Lord's Prayer. He prayed that we all be one, even as the Father and Son are one. Why did He pray that way? Just so we can have a big party, we can have a place to go, we can have a camp meeting to go to, we can... that the world may believe. That's why He prayed that way. The world that He died for, that He gave His life, that He suffered, He bled and He died, and He hung on the cross to reconcile man to God, that light would be illuminated through you and through me. And how else can the devil dim that light than to scatter us all? Amen. And I don't believe this little group over here and this little group over here are it. I'll tell you right now, I don't believe that. I don't believe God has seven little congregations over here and they're it. Or 14 little congregations over here and they're it and nobody else. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that the angel of the church is not listening to the voice of God. It's that way. Amen. So who are you in fellowship with? Everybody that's saved. If you're saved, we're in fellowship with you. Amen. And I mean that in the truest sense. We mean saved. Saved from a life of sin. Walking in all the light that you know and understand. Come on. Okay. Well, praise the Lord for the truth tonight. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and 25, I'm not turning there, but if you want to write it down, a house divided against itself cannot stand. I want you to know the quickest way to tear down the strength of the house is divided up. Okay? And that's happened all down through time. Okay? And I don't have time to go down through all of that. Listen. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Let's turn there quickly. What time did I start, Brother Mark? 8:18. Okay, I better hurry. Let me just tell you what this said, because I've got a long ways to go and I ain't got but a few minutes to finish it. All right. The apostles, the disciples, they found someone casting out devils, and John said, Master, we forbid them because they followeth not us. And Jesus said, forbid them not. Jesus was letting them know that just because they were separated, he was teaching against that sectish spirit early on. And how many today, because you're not a part of their group, if you will not even acknowledge us as being saved. Is it any wonder that we see the condition? Jesus also taught in John 10 and 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Okay? Revelation 14. I'm just going to kind of skim through this. He said the time was come that the harvest of the earth was ripe. Dealing with the sixth seal time. The time was come that God was bringing His people all back together into one. Wasn't that beautiful? Okay? And I believe tonight the time has come, right down here in the seventh seal. I believe people are tired of the divisions and the schisms. Okay? I want you to know we're not helping people get saved. You're not helping your community. You're not helping your family, your unsaved neighbors or friends always being divided. But I want you to know what I found is when we can reconcile some differences. And the Bible says, Paul said that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Listen, when people can hear, even when the world can hear, that the church is reconciled. You know what it does? You know what it does to the backslider? It gives them hope. Come on. It sounds good. It's a positive. You know why? Because we've heard so many negatives. Amen. It's that way. And the time has come that the harvest of the earth was ripe. Again, by the same principle, I believe the time has come. It's fully ripe. Really, we break from groupism. Come on. What happened to headquarters in heaven? When I got saved in 1981, we had the sign hanging up, the Church of God with headquarters in heaven. Down there in Yeager, West Virginia. Come on. And we put that up on our new sign down here. Why? Because that's where the head is. And we need to hear from the headquarters. Come on. It's not an earthly headquarters. It's not an unofficial earthly headquarters. See, everybody say we don't have an earthly headquarters. But I want you to know there's certain places all the influence comes from. Come on. And that influence defines the group. Amen. Whether it's right or wrong, it defines the group. And then it binds people up. And they're not free to worship God aright. They're not free to do what the evening light message allowed the brethren to do. To go and preach the gospel. Come on. They've got to get the okay from the headquarters. Bit one, two, or three people, whoever's most influential. Amen. We need to be far removed from the church. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, he said, I'm hearing that there's contentions among you. And he said, well, one says, I'm of Apollos, and one says, I'm of Paul. And I'm of Cephas, or Peter. And one of Christ. He said, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? I want you to know, Paul squashed that stuff in the morning time. Would to God people would squash it today. Amen. Come on, that was the first trumpet, if you will. And the Bible says the first trumpet burned up all the green grass. Come on, all the flesh. Come on, they burned up the flesh. So that the flesh didn't destroy the church, didn't destroy congregations. Amen. Isaiah 11 and 6. Let's read that. Isaiah 11 and 6. I'm only about halfway through, so I'm trying to put some shortening in this. Again, that's not one of my strong points, but I'm trying to do my best. I'm just going to tell you what it says. You can read it later. It says, they shall neither hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. You can go there and read that. So in Mount Zion, I want you to know the will of God. Come on, the plan of God is for His people not to hurt nor destroy. Amen. Isaiah 58, I want to read this one. Let's go there. Isaiah 58. And again, you can see why this is not a message that could quickly be preached. Isaiah 58 and 12, we're going to read that one. And they that shall be of thee shall build, shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. I believe tonight we're raising up the foundations of many generations. I believe this is how the Church of God started. I believe this was the evening light message. Okay? And we need to raise that up again in this day. Amen. Come on. Thou shalt raise up the foundations. What is the foundation? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Thou shalt be called. Listen. Listen to the prophecy of Isaiah. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. Repairing those that are separated. First of all, every soul that's separated from God, God wants to repair. God wants to bridge the gap that there's no longer a separation. Amen. And listen, and a restorer of paths to dwell in. So restoration. Restoration is a burden. God wants to repair. And think of God's people that have been separated. And listen to me. Politics in the church work against restoration. We don't have room or place for politics. Come on. And we need to make sure they're not working. Because they have worked. Politics is part of the reason that we're dealing with the situation we're dealing with today, is it not? Amen. Listen, we've been separated. Many of us have been separated tonight. That doesn't mean we have to be divided. I've been separated from people that I don't know. I'm not divided. But I have been separated, and you have too. And God wants to repair the breach. I refuse to continue to fight the civil war battles, but spiritually speaking. Come on. That many separations and many breaches have been non-doctrinal. What have they been? Conscience matters. Personal opinions. Personal agendas. Carnality. Amen. And Paul taught us very clearly in Romans the 14th chapter. You can go there and read that. How that really the law of the conscience is not the law of the church. How that one brother can regard a day unto the Lord, and another brother whose conscience won't allow him to regard the day, and he does that unto the Lord. They're both pleasing unto God. And he went on to let us know that we don't need to be passing judgment on our brother because of those differences. Listen, we're going to have differences. Come on. He said, all nations shall flow. Isaiah did. Listen, you know what that means? How's all nations going to flow? I want you to know all the different cultures are going to flow. Come on. And listen to me. If it's sin in one culture, it's sin in every culture. Sin is sin in every culture. Okay? Come on. And sin is the issue. Sin is the issue. Paul was clear. He let us know there'd be differences. Amen. I've had some people say, "Oh, don't preach on differences. Let's preach on all the things that we agree on." Well, listen, I'll tell you what. I'll stop preaching on differences when we stop dividing over differences. How about that? Okay. We need to preach on differences so that we can rightly divide the word of truth, and we go back and we can see what brought the church out and the attitude of the brethren in the sixth seal. It was not the attitude that we deal with today. Come on, it was not a knee-jerk reaction to cut someone off every time they have a different opinion. Amen. 1913. H.M. Riggle preached in Anderson camp meeting, the true standard. And he preached how the law of the conscience cannot be the law of the church. Amen. And so can we tonight? You know, when God destroyed the world, Noah sent out the dove. He went out and came back with nothing. And he went out and came back with an olive leaf. You know what that represented? God was restoring what was destroyed. Isn't that beautiful? That dove always represents peace. The Spirit of God. Can the Spirit of God in us tonight reach out the olive branch? Amen. I preached this song in some places, and the saints rejoiced, and the leadership were stained. Okay? Can we reach the olive branch? You remember when, and I'm shortening. Thank you. Saints in Silicago, be proud of me. I put so much shortening in this message tonight. This is one of those messages I would probably preach 3 hours, a minimum. Okay, so, but you remember Abraham, Lot, they went out and they had contention. The herdsmen had contention. They had strife. You remember what Abraham said? Let there be no strife between us, for we be brethren. And there be no strife between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen. You know what? They saw the need far greater than their own personal desires. Abraham said, you just take, if you want to go to the left or the right, you just, and I'll take what's left. You know what? We're not going to fight over this. For we be brethren. Oh, isn't it? Doesn't it mean something to be brethren? Isn't there a value on being brethren? On being saints first? Doesn't the Bible say you're called to be saints? Listen to me. We need to be saints first. Come on. And those saints, Jesus said, my sheep, hear my voice. Amen. You see the leadings of God. I believe God wants to do a work in this last day. There's much to do. And listen, all the things that we've seen, the divisions, the schisms, they've been nothing but a distraction. In church, we don't have time for it. Why? There's a work to do. There's a work to do. And you know what? When you're the most happy, when you're working for God, you're laboring in the kingdom. Come on. We don't want to spend our time fighting the wrong thing, fighting one another. How can we reach a lost and dying world? One way we can is when we're all one, and it brings faith in the message. It brings faith in Jesus Christ when the world can see His body working together. Amen. Come on. We've had to break from some things to be able to do that in its fullness. Amen. But I'm glad that we can follow God tonight. Our burden, restoration. I believe God is doing the work even now to restore. Right down here in this evening time. In this seventh seal apostasy, I believe God is doing all He can do to restore. May we have the spirit and the attitude to accept what God accepts, reject what God rejects. Okay? But make sure it's what God rejects and it's what God accepts. Okay? Restoration. All right, so saints in Carmichael, we'll leave those thoughts with you. Trust it, give us something to think on. We want to go forward. We've been honored to be able to be with you online. And we look forward to the day that we can see each of you in person. We've heard many good things about the saints there. And so we remember the days of Brother McConaughey. Back in those days, just a little bit, we were young, but we always had very fond memories of what little bit we do remember. Okay, it's been a while. So we want you to know you're all invited to Silicaga, Alabama.
And come down and meet with us anytime that you can, or if you need a place to go and visit, come down in the backwoods of Coosa County, and we'll be glad to have you. So, all right, we'll leave the thoughts with you and turn the message back over, or turn the service back over to Brother Gove at this time. All right.